Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
Has survived 19 cancellations, 2 assassination attempts, and a pretty good ribbon by those South Park guys.
And Sherry.
I'm seeing you as a Jessica Chastain type with a touch of Emma Stone, but with hats.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. Yes, this is your show. It's the show where you do better when we do better. Or is it...
What?
We do better when you do better, or we... Well, anyway, it's nice to be here with you, and we're going to try as hard as we can. So I'm looking at the prices for the Super Bowl tickets for this year.
And by the way, Sherry's helping her husband, so she'll be joining us shortly.
Right. She'll be with us in a little while, right? She's Kevin's having quite a year, and she's the caregiver there. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on San Francisco coming up, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. What do you think the price is?
For now,
$1,800.
Now, are you talking just a regular cheap ticket? Is that what you're saying? Or are you talking the average price?
StubHub, single ticket is what we're looking at. And then I'll tell you some of the other prices that you can actually, if you got a lot of money, you can buy.
I'm going to say $2,500.
$2,500?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I said 18.
$8,600 after fees.
Oh. I'm sorry. I just got vertigo for a second.
$8,600.
Good. That is a stadium. I never have to worry about that.
A cheap seat?
Yeah.
Wow.
There are seats that are listed for nearly $11,000 after fees. That's for one seat in an upper level end zone section of Allegiant Stadium. The best deal that I'm looking here is $8,600 after. What are the fees? Handling fees, whatever that is, I guess.
It's that same scam.
Yeah.
So Allegiant Stadium is expected to be expanded to 72,000 seats for Super Bowl 58. The tickets are the most expensive in history in this game. And don't you know that somebody's saying, yeah, it's because Taylor Swift. No, it's not because of Taylor Swift. It's just, you know, that's the way it goes. Last year there were $11,000 seats. I think there were some seats, you know, with some extras that came along with it that were even more than that.
How many actual regular football fans actually buy tickets? I've always heard that mostly this is companies. Companies come in and buy out these seats and they give them out to their customers.
So a guy who used to work on this show, Schmenkman, he went and saw, so he's a big fan of the Carolina Panthers. And when they went to the Super Bowl the first time, what he and his wife did, it was in Houston. And so what they did is they bought the tickets, but they couldn't afford the hotel room. So they camped. In order to be able to afford to be able to go to the game. So that is the only way that a regular guy can afford to go to something like that. Cause you know,
I think a lot of it are there guys working for companies and, you know, they get spiffed because they've done a good job with sales or whatever. Yeah. And you do have, you know, some people who've got some bucks. You take a successful businessman, doctor, lawyer, a woman who's, you know, the head of a company now. And, you know, the $8,600, yeah, it's a lot of money. Or the $11,000, that's a real lot of money. But in terms of, you know, what they're pulling
down.
It's always relative. Yeah,
everything
that's
is relative.
Right. So if the Chiefs win, and we don't know, you know, we don't know who's going to win. Both great teams. Does Taylor Swift get on the field right after the win?
You have to figure that she did after the AFC Championship, so I would say, she's going to get on the field.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that will make people's heads explode.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
I'm so tired of people grinding on stuff. Is your life so empty that you're going to grind on this? I mean, really?
Well, part of it is there are some people that are assuming her proclivity politically, and they're saying this is all, you know, for politics and all. I don't think it is. I think she's just in love with this guy, and she's as happy as can be. Do you recall any other girlfriends or wives at the end of a game, though? End of a Super Bowl game on the field?
Yes, you families do? Came to yes, because there are pictures of people that had families, and it was like their wife and small children who came on the field after the Super Bowl. Yeah. After the game was over and they do the presentation, a lot of times they let family on the field. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She was on the field, though, right after they won, didn't they? Wasn't she?
Yep.
She was right there.
Oh, yeah.
She was right there. That'll be interesting to see. Anyway, save your pennies if there's anything left. I don't even know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Just in time for Love Month at the Bob and Sherry store, we have plush animals wearing a Bob and Sherry caricature shirt. We have bunnies, bears, jaguars, lions, and pandas. Oh my! If you'd like to pick up one for the love in your life, or you want to get one for yourself, all you have to do is go on over to the Bob and Sherry store, conveniently located on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
We want to send teachers to Fort Myers Beach, Florida to enjoy a vacation for two this summer. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com to win a trip from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Every once in a while, you'll get an email or something from your bank or from your credit card, and it'll have some charge on there, and they're asking you about it, and you know, you didn't, you know, do it. You have to charge against that, and they fix it, whatever. And it feels like you've been invaded. I mean, somebody's taking your money. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well, for years, Sergey Lebedenko worked as a driver for Wynn McCormick, and he was a 79-year-old founder of Ten House Books, and their business relationship over the period of time changed. And Sergey and his wife started to house sit for McCormick and ran his errands and that kind of stuff. And so the Lebedenkos charged their services to McCormick's American Express card in the name of their business, Astra Car Service. Mm-hmm. However, McCormick did not regularly check his card charges. And for years, the couple raked in piles of money right under his nose. At the start, Lebedenko charged McCormick $90 an hour for his rides. And an invoice Galena, his wife, emailed to McCormick in 2013 showed the charge of $90 an hour for driving and $60 an hour for walking services. Don't know what that means. So McCormick, he occasionally discovered that the couple had overcharged his American Express, and, you know, he'd ask him about it. And, of course, Lebedenko would be like, no, I would never do anything like that, you know. And so the following year, McCormick discovered his American Express, which charged 10 to 15 times by Lebedenko when he was not even in town. So he wasn't being driven anywhere. He was getting charged.
They're so he running confronted it, him.
Yeah. So he confronted Lebedenko about it. And, he said, you need to stop charging until we can figure this out. And even after that, he still kept charging. And so McCormick spoke to some agents from the FBI and the Internal Revenue Service, and they started getting on this looking. He later discovered that Astra Car Services had charged a total of $34 million on his American Express from 2016 to 2023.
Wow.
Okay? Yeah, 7 years.
All right, seven years, but still.
Lebedenko and his wife, during this time, had acquired several luxury properties, a $2 million home in Bermuda Dunes, California, a $2.3 million residence in Sun River, Oregon, a $1.5 million private Cessna Citation III jet, and some other properties in Portland and Battleground, Vancouver, and Washington areas. Lebedenko is 53. His wife is 48. They're charged with wire fraud and money laundering. Here's what happened to them. The moron part of this. This is why they're morons. People always get caught because greed.
Right.
They could have took him for $1 million, maybe $2 million, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they took, the more they wanted to take. And when you start buying properties, I don't even know how. I mean, this is crazy.
That's what I was trying to figure out, because you have to sign a lot of papers and you have to come up with answers to where this cash came from.
Because you can't just walk. Yeah. You can't just go to the real estate closing and hand them a satchel of cash.
Cash money.
You can only put $9,999 in the bank without having to write paperwork on it. $34 million. That's a lot of deposits, man. That's a lot of deposits.
Everybody is right now saying, was there something mentally off about the book publisher guy that had all of that money?
Well, he was elderly. He was 79.
I guess that was it. He just.
So they did it with an American Express card. That American Express card must have had one hell of a credit line.
I tell you what, you're exactly
right. What about the points? Hey, they probably bought the properties with the points.
Yeah, right. That is exactly right. Wow.
That is crazy.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't be a moron.
With Morons in the News.
Sherry will be joining us in a little bit. She's taking care of Kevin right now. We're going to start out with the moron of the day. A naked woman wielding a sharp-edged vegetable peeler threatened convenience store workers, destroyed a Red Bull display, and then did something in front of sheriff deputies that I can't even talk about. Investigators allege that Celia Barrett, who's 35 years old, she's 35 years old, caused a drunken disturbance at the racetrack convenience stores. They're all over Florida. Upon arriving completely naked at the store, Barrett began yelling about how she was trespassed from the business the prior day. I've never heard anybody use that expression. I guess she was thrown out of the racetrack. And it's pretty hard to get thrown out of a convenience store, I gotta tell you. She said she was told if she came back, she would be arrested. That did not stop her. She showed up, peeler in hand, about 6:40 p.m. and threatened two workers, one of whom told police, she said, she would kill me. Barrett proceeded to topple and break a display of Red Bull energy drinks and spill cigarettes from a carton she tore open. When police officers arrived at the racetrack, Barrett was still inside and still naked. And then she began doing something in front of them. Once again, I cannot tell you about it. They said, "What is wrong with you? Are you drunk? Are you high?" She said, quote, "I had approximately 6 shots of liquor." If she says she had approximately 6 shots of liquor, that means she had 12 shots of liquor. That's just the way that sort of thing.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Charged with aggravated assault, disorderly intoxication, trespass, and a half a dozen other things. Her rap sheet, by the way, has convictions for battery, prostitution, criminal mischief, and narcotic possessions. This is a lady that needs to get her life together. She's 35 years old. I think there's still time. Lamar?
Well, we're going to go to a more mellow situation. Two passengers on a cruise ship from Miami to the UK were found to be carrying over 100 bags of marijuana. Oh. Michael Queensberry and Savannah Rose Menemee were set to travel on Norwegian Joy when law enforcement boarded the vessel. The pair were found in a cabin where Queensberry had two suitcases, a carry-on bag, and a backpack, per the affidavit. It adds that Menemee was allowed to leave the room at first, as she said she had only met her co-defendant at the ship's bar, like she didn't know him. So later, a drug-sniffing dog issued a positive signal for Queensberry's luggage, where officials found 56 vacuum-sealed bags containing marijuana. The court document says Queensberry claimed the drugs were for personal use and he had a medical marijuana card.
I'll tell you what, he wanted to be relaxed on that cruise, didn't he? 56 bags. Go ahead.
After finding the apparent contraband, law enforcement then located Menemee and the ship at the ship's bar and escorted her to her room where another 56 bags were found. Isn't it funny? They don't know each other, but they both have exactly 56 bags, okay?
Yeah.
Her luggage also consisted of two suitcases, a carry-on bag, and a backpack. The seized packages weighed 158 pounds. Based on my training and experience, drug traffickers are really trying to export marijuana from the United States to England because the high price of marijuana in England, it brings more money. Queensberry and Menomee have pleaded not guilty to four charges involving drug trafficking. They're released on bonds of $250,000 and $150,000, respectively, and surrendered their passports. If they are found guilty on all counts, they each face up to 80 years in prison or a $4 million fine. Hello.
Whoa. Wow.
Hello.
It's one or the other, $4 million or 80 years in prison?
Yeah. Maybe it's cheaper to get the drink package. You know, they do that drink package, and you can have all the drinks you want. I don't know. Yeah. That's crazy.
And there it is, crazy. Ladies and gentlemen. Morons in the news. Go to bobandsherry.com, and you're going to see the moron of the day, this poor soul who is in the pokey right now for getting naked. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, all we hear about is diet and exercise might be the best way to slim down. And I'm sure it is, but according to experts, there's one fat-fighting tool that doesn't require you to do any heavy lifting or running or anything.
What is
it? Depending, of course, on the size of your favorite reusable coffee mug, it's no secret caffeine can be the perfect wingman for weight loss. But how much do you need to drink every day to shed some pounds? Let's just say that 200 to 400 milligrams should be the guideline. Depending on your size, that's equivalent to 2 to 5 cups.
2 to 5 cups? And it helps you to lose weight?
Yes.
And it helps you to lose weight?
Yes, it does. This falls in line with a study from Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. It showed that 4 cups of coffee per day can lower body fat by 4%. Because coffee contains caffeine, which has thermogenic effects, and it can speed up the metabolism, helps you burn some more calories. And some studies have shown that it can help to decrease the BMI, the body weight, and body fat. Coffee can also curb appetite and reduce your hunger. Research shows that drinking coffee before a meal can reduce the calories you eat at the meal, even if you have coffee for up to 4 hours before a meal. Coffee also contains chlorogenic acid, which has been shown to increase fat burning and may help slow down the absorption of carbohydrates. Beware, though, by adding cream, whole milk, or sugar to coffee, you can offset any of the calories you burn. So you sort of got to stay with black coffee or, you know.
I drink mostly black coffee. How come I still look like this? How come I still look like this? And I drink probably 5 cups.
I drink 100 ounces of coffee a day. Don't seem to be doing nothing for me.
I know. That's what drives me crazy about these things.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like there's somebody out there that says, all right, we haven't jerked him around with weight loss with coffee yet. Let's jerk him around with that for a little while.
Hey, it's like everything else. It looks good on paper, but it don't work in the street. This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
Tuesdays are the hardest day of the week, not just in our opinion, although we agree. That is actual hardcore science. And we thought a good way to jumpstart your icy cold Tuesday morning is with one of our very favorites, comedian Leanne Morgan.
My husband is very smart and very quiet and an introvert and does very well. And then married me. And we've been exactly the opposite, but it has worked. He's a big man. He's 6'4". He can kick a door in, and I like that. He works like a dog, and he loves a baby. Let me tell y'all that he is a baby cuddler at Easton City Children's Hospital. He cuddles the drug-dependent babies every week of the world as a volunteer. I know, sweet. He didn't help me with mine.
But...
because he was out making a living and paying for all this. We've got two still in college, and I wanted a fourth baby so bad when my baby child went to kindergarten. I nearly grieved myself to death. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with all this time on my hands? I hope I don't get hooked on whiskey and start honky-tonking. And about 3 weeks into her going to kindergarten, I was like, Woohoo! Now I'm going to get a pap smear without somebody sitting on my head. But my husband, when I dropped her off, he said, meet me at the IHOP. Because he knows that pancakes get me through a hard time. And I was crying, and I said, I want another baby. And he said, why don't you get a job? Yeah, right. So I said, I want a fourth baby. And he said, y'all are sucking the financial life out of me. So he bought me a dachshund. I had that dachshund for years. She's gone now. But let me tell you, she and I both got thyroid issues. She had cushions. I was walking her in our neighborhood one day, and a little girl came out in her driveway, and she said, can I pet your groundhog? Oh, y'all. So about my husband. All right, so my husband is a big man and is 6'4". I'm 5'8". We breed big kids. And we wanted them to be in sports and when they were growing up. And so we made them do all kinds of mess they didn't want to do. And we put our boy, when he was little bitty, we put him in T-ball. He hated it. I don't know if any of y'all have had a baby play T-ball, but for those of you who don't know, T-ball season, it's about 110 degrees outside. It's little children that are 4, look like they've got a diaper on under their baseball pants or a pull-up. The games last about 3 hours. Nobody ever hits the ball, throws a ball, catches a ball, makes contact with the ball. My baby laid in a fetal position in the outfield the entire season. He never touched a ball. Every once in a while, he'd pop his little head up and say, water. One game, it was so hot, and I told the middle one to go out and take her brother a water bottle. She was about 2 and a half, and she went walking out there with a tutu and a crayon and a wand and her pink prostitute shoes from Walmart. She walked about halfway, stopped, got a glazed look over her eyes, pulled her little panties to the side, and pooped in the T-ball field. She really did. So I had to run out there and get a stick and flick it into the woods because I didn't want another child to step in it or think it was a milk dud.
She is something. It is something.
She's
the only person in the world who can take a word like boy and turn it into 3 syllables. I just love her.
A lovely end. All right, we'll get that set posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. We got Bob and Sherry's small plates coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Every once in a while in the course of humanity's parade, you find something happens. The coming together of 2 people, 4 people, maybe just 1 person who is so unique, but at the right place at the right time. You just say, how could that be happening? I'll give you an example. Elvis Presley. First of all, the name. Elvis. Who ever heard of that? Elvis Presley. If his name was Gary Presley, I don't think it would have been the same thing. And then he comes along and he says, I think I'm going to take country music and some rhythm and blues. I'm going to kind of put it together like a lot of African-American folks are doing. and I'm going to sing, and it's going to change the course of music, and it did. And then you got the Beatles. What was the likelihood that John Lennon and Paul McCartney, two kids from not a really wealthy background, come together, just meet, kind of like each other, and all of a sudden, they're this genius-like songwriting team, and they sing great. And then they find two other guys who were perfect for the band. I mean, it's, you just say, how could that happen? I was checking out about a week ago from the supermarket, and I looked over at People magazine, and on the cover were the Kelce brothers. Super Bowl is coming up, y'all, right, this Sunday. The two of them were on the cover. And I just stopped for a moment and I thought, what is the likelihood that parents could have one son who makes it to the NFL? It's very, very low. The likelihood that they would have two sons that make it to the NFL is astronomically low.
Much
and
less.
The opportunity for one of them to be the love interest of the most popular performer on the planet, where she is a singer of renowned abilities, and he's the football star. She's
Wait, it's
the
not
singer,
just that,
he's
Bob.
The football star.
He's one of the greatest tight ends in the history of the NFL. And Donna right. and Ed Kelce not only had both their sons go pro, but you'll remember they had their sons playing against each other in the Super Bowl. Like,
right.
when does that ever happen before? It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. right. It absolutely is. And, you know, she did that song like she's her competition is a cheerleader and she's on the benches. You know, remember that when she was like 15 years old?
She's I forget the name cheer of the song. Captain and I'm on the bleachers. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the bleachers. Right. So, I mean, you take that. She's on the bleachers. She's saying, yeah, I never made cheer captain. But she ends up with one of the greatest football players of all time is going to be in the Super Bowl. I mean,
it's like
the
a
likelihood
rom-com.
Of all of that. It is.
It's just yeah. like a rom-com. It's so, I mean, yeah, it's yeah. so cool. And I feel kind of sorry for, there are a lot of dudes out there. Like Kevin is one. I have another friend also named Sherry. Her husband is one where it's like, wait, what do you mean you want to watch a football game? What? Like, why do you suddenly want to watch quarterback on Netflix? Like,
right.
what's going on here? It's the Taylor Swift effect.
It's just breathtaking that the two of them would be together. I don't know. I never saw her with a guy who looks like that or was doing that for a living. I don't know why.
He took his shot, buddy. He manifested that. He was like, I'm going to her show. I'm going to make a friendship bracelet. He is the king of manifesting like the secret, like his desires.
Who predicted they were going to get married when they first came out? When this first came out that they were seeing each other, I predicted that they were going to get married.
You did.
And it looks like that's what's going to happen.
It does look that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm so happy. After the playoff games, which I never in my wildest dreams was like, what time is the game? Because I need to watch it on the big TV. Okay. So after the playoff game, I was on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter. I consumed so much Taylor Travis Kelce content that I ended up like staying up an hour and a half later than I usually do on a school night. I mean, it's just, it's insane. It is just insane. But you know what it tells me? It tells me that people are starved for something positive and cheerful to celebrate. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that think that Taylor is ruining the NFL or that the game was rigged and blah, there's all these like nut job conspiracy theories. But don't you think that people just want something positive to root for?
Yeah. Yeah. And people like to look at pretty people, you know, and talented, especially if they're talented. People just like to look at pretty people. And they are a very handsome couple, obviously.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you know, she's going to be there. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Ah, yes. the ever-giving bit that we do, things Bob didn't know. This one, I had no idea. Sunglasses were not originally designed to protect your eyes. Did you know that? They were not originally designed to protect your eyes from the sun. The original idea behind sunglasses was so that Chinese judges could hide their facial expressions in court. So you're the defendant or you're the person that's accusing, and you'd look
that's
up at
creepy.
The judge.
That's sinister feeling.
Yeah. Very. I thought so, too. I was picturing like a judge. Sometimes there's a panel of judges. Can you imagine if you're the defendant and you're looking up and these stone-faced guys are looking back at you with sunglasses? Very, very creepy. But that's evidently the way it started. Smokers should eat more stinky cheese if they want to quit. Cheese can make cigarettes taste disgusting and thus curb cravings. And strong cheese is even better. The stronger the cheese, like blue cheese, is even better. If you eat a piece of strong cheese every time you go to smoke a cigarette, your brain will start to associate the taste of the cigarette with the taste of the cheese and eventually reduce your urge to quit. So I'm looking at this and I thought, suppose you wanted to break up with somebody, right? But they don't want to break up with you. But, oh, man, you have had it. I mean, the relationship has run its course. Suppose you started eating a piece of really stinky cheese, and then you go to kiss them, right? Mm. And they go, what is that? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, nothing at all. And then you go to kiss them again another time, but you've eaten maybe a little less, but it's still there. Would that associate with their mind something negative about you, just like with the cigarette? And eventually they say, I can't deal with this guy. Every time I kiss him, it's disgusting.
Forget the stinky cheese. If you're smoking, I'm not kissing you anyway.
Well, that's true too. That's
I'm
true
out.
Too.
I'm out.
The most expensive pastry in the world started being sold in 2016 at London's Dum Dum Donutry. That's the name of the place. It cost $1,800. For a croissant, $1,800. It's part croissant, part donut, and it's called the Luxury Zebra. It included crystal rosé champagne, caviar, gold leaf, Tahitian gold vanilla beans, and rare Medici Port Siena chocolate. I don't know what that is, but evidently it's the most expensive chocolate on the planet. The reason they call it the Dum Dum Donutry, as far as I can tell, if you pay $1,800 for a croissant, you are a big dum-dum. I mean, that those publicity things are so ridiculous. And this one may be the worst.
But it can't be fresh. Nobody, I mean, think about it. It's got to sit there.
I know.
It's got to be sitting there for, I mean, there's no way to get that fresh.
For a while. Nobody can own celestial bodies like Mars or the Moon, according to a 1967 UN treaty. I didn't know that. The UN got it. Does every country in the world that has nuclear power belong? Does North Korea belong to the United Nations?
No, I don't think so.
I don't. Maybe they don't. If you stretch for 5 minutes before going to bed, your muscles will be more relaxed and it will be easier for you to find a comfortable position to sleep in. I am going to try that because that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
If you just stretch,
I believe that.
Right? So now the muscles, you know, they feel pretty good. Right? You're relaxed, and you can just sleep with greater ease.
You know, there parents was a thing say, years ago, people would have you, as you lay there, you close your eyes and you concentrate. You try to relax your feet, then you relax your ankles. You try to walk your way up your body, trying to relax.
Oh, yeah.
And that helps you go to sleep.
It's almost like hypnotism, yeah.
I don't want to get to my knee, though. It doesn't matter. So.
Yeah, you're one of those guys. Parents say they have to turn off lights in empty rooms 333 times a year. Unless you live in my house, where the number is about 1,900 times a week, plus turning off televisions that nobody has wanted about 250 times a month. I don't know why my wife does that. She will walk out of the room and leave the TV on. And if I'm working with you guys, I go in there, and it's been on by itself for like an hour and a half. I don't know what it is about some people with lights and televisions. I am the exact opposite, obviously. So there it is. Things Bob didn't know. Relax when you go to bed. Stretch. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's Love Month on Bob and Sherry. That's true. But even so, some of us are blue. Bob and Sherry have a way to take the blues away with a celebration just for you. It's a box with socks that are cozy. They're sure to warm up your teeny little toesies. A mask that will calm and moisturize your skin, and the Bob and Sherry swag you've been dying to win. We also include some Scone Goddess scones, which will take the sting out of being alone. We've included delicious Maine Needhams, those cute little candies. With your free Netflix gift card, you'll definitely want them handy. It's a me party from the Scone Goddess, Maine Needhams, and the Bob and Sherry Show. We're picking a winner every day, so come on, don't be slow. You can register now for the Bob and Sherry Me Party package on the contest page at bobandsherry.com.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Oh, I think we all know this feeling, workplace vertigo. It's that feeling when you're at work and you're so consumed by feelings of sudden hostility with management. It's a rageful phenomenon. And what ends up happening is you react with rage and heat before you can even think about what you're doing. I have seen this happen at work. We all have. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've been saddled with an unfair workload, a lack of appreciation, constant picking and picking and picking. And before you even realize what's happening, you're kicking something down the hallway or slamming a door or absolutely losing your stuff. Yeah.
So it's a visual thing?
Almost, Sarah. Almost.
No, it's not a visual thing. It's a behavior thing. You everything was fine, and then something happened with management, and you go into like an out-of-body rage state. Yeah. I've seen this happen with coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's called.
It's
called workplace vertigo. And so this director of employee blah, blah, blah said, if you feel this coming on, you can't act on it because that turns you into the bad guy. And worse, it makes you into a crazy.
That's true.
But it's apparently really common because a lot of times, people don't do well with conflict in their personal relationships, right? You don't do well with conflict in your family. And now conflict at your job. So people have this, their adrenaline pumps, their heart rate increases, their mouths go dry, workplace rage, vertigo.
Yeah, I believe that's a thing. I think it also could be set off by just someone you just can't stand, who you have some sort of a beef with, right? And they say anything and you lose it.
And you're the one, you regret it. It never goes well for you. That's the point of this. Like this guy says, you need to get into your rational headspace because you're going to look like a bad, crazy person. Oh, so real. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
It is talk back time. Let's hit the phones at 844-52-SHERI or if you have our app and you already know if you have our app that you can listen to the show and all of our podcasts, including Talking Lamar and the Oddcast and True Weird Stuff. And you can tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, it's Greg in Maryland. I've been listening to your show forever. I've listened to you all over the world, both living overseas and traveling overseas, which has given me some really great memories during best of broadcasts when I've been able to say, hey, I can remember hearing this when I was walking down the street in Tokyo, or I remember hearing that when I was on a ferry in Hong Kong, or I remember this segment from when I was in a taxi in Mumbai. So I really appreciated Lamar's story in Morons in the News about the monkeys in Ubud, Bali, Indonesia, because I, too, had an encounter with those monkeys. It was about 15 years ago. My wife and I were on vacation in Bali, and I was really excited about getting to feed monkeys. My lifelong motto has always been, everybody loves a monkey. So outside the temple area, you can buy bananas and oranges and other fruit for to feed the monkeys. But there are signs about the monkeys are very aggressive. And so I thought, aha, I'm smarter than a monkey. I'll put the bananas that I bought in my backpack so they won't be able to take them until I'm ready to dole them out. I'm walking through the temple area, and there's a there are designated areas where they suggest that you feed the monkeys. And so therefore, the monkeys are all hanging out in those areas because they know that's where the tourists are going to feed them. So I get to one of those areas. I sit down on a bench. I unzip my backpack in order to get the bananas out. And this big monkey jumps up on my lap, sticks his hand into my backpack, grabs the bunch of bananas, and takes off. And just like that, what I had hoped would be several minutes of fun, it was done. In the end, the monkeys were smarter than me. But I probably have a better story with a monkey jumping on my lap and sticking his hand into my backpack than I would if I had doled them out one by one. Thanks very much. Love your show. Bye-bye.
What an interesting guy.
What a cool life. Yeah. What an adventurous life you're having. Wow.
And isn't that almost a metaphor, that story, to what life really is? How many of us had our bananas in our backpack and we're going to sit down and we're hoping to make something out of ourselves, and all of a sudden some middle manager jerk comes, jumps on us, and takes all of our bananas and leaves. And we have no more bananas left.
But enough about the early days of the Bob and Cherry Show. I imagine these things happen to other people, too.
To other people, too. Yeah. God, that guy had an interesting life.
I agree with him. Like, who doesn't love a monkey? I have not thought the same about monkeys and chimpanzees since that terrible incident with the woman in Connecticut where the chimpanzee ate her face.
Because we
did a long, long, long time ago, you guys, Bob and I did a TV commercial where, and we wrote all of our own commercials, so you won't be shocked to know that the script for this one had Bob and I being called into the boss's office, and we walk in and sitting behind the desk is a monkey in a radio station t-shirt. And so we hired a show business, like a real movie and television chimpanzee that had done a lot of work in Hollywood, and happened to live in a show business animal sanctuary not too far from us. So we hired this chimpanzee to be the station manager. And I love animals. Oh my God, I just love all. There's not an animal that I don't want to like pet and kiss on the mouth. Like, I love them all. And I'm sitting on the couch, and the chimp and his handler are on the couch, and the chimp kind of scoots over, and I was wearing like a mini skirt and tights and boots. And the chimp puts his hand on my knee, and then his hand traveled up underneath my skirt. And I was like, excuse me, whoa. And the trainer goes, oh, he's a bad boy. And there was a scene where
it was good. Like, it was good casting for the manager, though. You have to admit.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it was perfect. And there was a scene where like I kissed this chimp, and I was so excited. Like, I'm going to get to work with like a movie star chimpanzee, and this is going to be amazing. And it was a really fun shoot. And Bob, of course, no one else can hear him. Bob has the ability to throw his voice like a ventriloquist when he thinks I'm doing something stupid. He's like, put your face away from the monkey. Don't let the monkey near your face. Sherry, do not let the monkey near your face. Get your face away from the monkey. And I was like, stop. How many chances am I ever going to have to do this? Like, this is once in a lifetime. And now, like, I look back on that day and I just break out in a cold sweat because, you know, like, terrible things could have happened. As it was, this chimp got to second base with me and didn't even buy me a drink. And it could have been a lot worse, right? So, yeah.
I was so frustrated with you because you are within a few inches of a monkey that we don't know. And your face is right out there. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
Anything at all could have happened. I mean,
I know, and you were right. No, yeah. You were so, so right. And I think about, like, after that terrible incident happened, and that woman, I think that was her pet. After that terrible incident happened, Bob was like, see, do you see why we don't kiss monkeys on the mouth?
Yeah.
I'm like, out of context. Yeah. Out of context, that didn't make any sense to anyone but me.
I did the same thing with your second husband. And again, would you listen?
I know. You're always right. You're always right. Yet you suffer. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
All throughout the month of February, we'll be drawing winners to receive a me party box with delicious treats like vanilla chocolate chip scone mix from the Scone Goddess, a Maine Needham sampler, a Netflix gift card, and you can find all of that at bobandsherry.com. Out of New Hampshire, Atkinson, New Hampshire, it is a new diaper spa and bed and breakfast that invites adults to wear diapers in a nursery-like atmosphere while engaging in services described as therapeutic, and it's drawing some concerns from some of the neighbors, okay? They're a little concerned about it. The diaper spa is advertised as physician-run diaper salon, and it serves all diaper-wearing individuals who seek acceptance, respite, and care, according to its website. Advertised services at the diaper spa include a free 30-minute call with the resident diaper doc, Doc Murphy, to connect and to discuss services, a spa-like nursery experience for the little one inside of you, providing a warm, safe, and nurturing environment while you indulge in relaxation for $350 per hour. Virtual and Zoom play dates for personalized care.
At that
care,
price, I need the diaper. I got to tell you.
Yeah. You get, for interactive sessions from the comfort of your own home, they're $200 per hour. A live telephone call with Doc is $150 an hour, and texting with her is $100 per hour, according to the website. More expensive services range from $500 per hour to $1,700 for a 24-hour diaper bed and breakfast, according to the website. They've already received calls from worried residents. Everybody's upset. And, you know, it's a very nice neighborhood. Residents voice their concerns on social media. The diaper spa's public activities and its proximity to the park and adjacent trails are frequented by families and their children. On the website, the diaper spa lists the access to trails in the area as an amenity. I don't know if you can walk down the trail wearing a diaper or not. I'm not exactly sure how that works.
It sounds like it, though. It's if the people are. So let me get this straight. This is not somebody who needs to wear a diaper for whatever reason.
No, they want
to. This is somebody that just wants to wear a diaper like a baby.
Yeah.
And then you can talk to some sort of medical people about it.
Yeah. Well, the owner of this thing, the owner, her name is Murphy. She's listed as a doctor of medicine who is a board certified diplomate and certified sexologist by the American Board of Sexology, according to the group's website. The American Board of Sexology is an association that provides professional standards and guidelines to the sexology community. It certifies that practitioners that meet the requirements of a sexology certification training program, and they know what they're doing, and that's the deal. Now, she is a doctor. She was a doctor at a hospital or whatever, but now she's decided that, you know, this is probably
better. I got to tell you, Lamar, if I'm staying at the diaper B&B and I walk down to get the breakfast in the morning, and I see you standing there in a diaper, and you see me.
Well, if you're there, that's what I was going to say. Let's just act like we don't recognize each other. Do not.
I would have to
just keep moving.
Can I ask? I think the larger question: would you be able? Because like I wouldn't be able to really relax with a load in my pants. To me, that would make it difficult.
That's part of it.
I'm not sure part of it.
Then why am I in a diaper?
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to guess. I have the answer, I think. I have a friend of mine who's British, and we were just talking over a couple of beers once. This is years and years ago. And he was saying, you know, in England, there are places that businessmen go, like at noon, and they get dressed up as babies, and they get into big high chairs, and, you know, a woman who's like a nanny comes in and feeds them and tells them they're such naughty boys. And it's this release of having not to be a grown-up, not have any pressure on you to be almost an infant. There evidently, for some people, there is that release. This is the only thing I could have come up with for this craziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But couldn't I like have a retreat where I don't have any responsibilities for a couple of days and everything is provided for me and I'm wearing my big girl underwear? Like, what?
That's not very weird to me. That's not very exciting, though. That's just run of the mill.
It's not embracing You're not embracing it fully.
You got that right. Yeah.
You're walking around with your piggies out in a diaper. I mean, I guess that's the ultimate of being an infant or a baby with no real responsibilities.
Dr. Murphy, she's got her sexologist certificate, so she knows what she's talking about. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I mean, I'm not disputing the expert. I'm just saying it wouldn't be for me. You know, that's all. Yeah. But it sounds like, I'm going to be honest, it sounds like it's for you and Bob, and I'm here to support that. If you two need a diaper getaway, I'm going to talk to Tony. I want to make that happen for you.
I can't wait to get the selfie and post it on Facebook, you and I together.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Easy Cater? Order food for your work at easycater.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I cannot believe this.
Well, it's Love Month. Happy February, everyone. And this seems like a really good time to share something that I've learned. And that is that our ancestors have been living in pairs. For 65 million years, human beings have paired up.
Really?
Which is fascinating because, you know, for the longest time, we were just guessing. Well, you know, we were solitary and then we lived in groups and then we came out of the trees and then we went into the caves. But now we're learning that, yes, there are always going to be exceptions. There are always going to be some people who are very solitary by nature and some people that are really groupy. But for the most part, human beings have been living as pairs going all the way back. And it started because it was kind of a matter of life and death. Like, you couldn't maintain your body heat all by yourself. You needed at least one other little warm creature to snuggle up to on cold nights.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things you'll see even today with like big mammals, like think about the deer. Like there's a huge herd of city deer in our neighborhood. And it's really cool the way they travel in herds. Like usually the herd of deer that run through our neighborhood is about 9 total. And in the daytime, I can look out the window, like where I'm sitting right now, I can look out the window and see groups of them curled up. I don't know if they're asleep or not, but they're curled up lying on the ground and they blend right into, you have to know what you're looking for to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
The main reason that they do that is to stay warm at night because shivering all night long takes up an awful lot of energy. And you're not rested, so you're much more likely to be eaten by a predator because you're exhausted and depleted. So it started off that way, like we've got to keep cold at night. Now, in the early, early days of humanity, were our primitive ancestors like birds? I don't know if you know that, but female birds do not like other female birds, and male birds hate other male birds. So they can only pair up as male-female. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Fascinating.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see people on social media going, I don't have any female friends because you can't trust women. And I'm like, hello, Karen. Are you like a magpie? Like, seriously? But anyway, so we would cuddle up to stay warm. And back in the day, you would not have in that group of ancestors, you wouldn't have a bunch of males because the males would fight with each other. And so you might have, you guys probably would have enjoyed this, you might have one male and like five females to cuddle up with at night to stay warm. What do you think about that? It's a fairly recent thing that you would have groups of...
I can't speak for Lamar or Max, but I do not want to be responsible in any way
for
to five
women.
I get the whole positive variety thing, but there's a price to be paid.
It's just kind of cool to think about how solitary living, it turns out, is a very recent thing that people do. Very recent. And by very recent, we don't mean in the last month. Like, we mean like in the last 100, 200, 300 years. But it's very recent because now you can stay warm at night because we have indoor
heat.
Yeah,
dogs. We have dogs.
Right? We have other ways to stay warm at night.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a novelty for people to live on their own. And it's a novelty to have multiple men.
That's right. The number of people who are now single living alone has never been higher in the United States. I forget the exact statistic, but I just read this the other day.
Yeah.
It just peaked. And, you know, like you were saying, it never was before. That makes perfect sense, staying warm if you go back that far. But don't you also think sex has something to do with it? Even if you go back thousands of years, that would have some appeal.
If it didn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation because none of us would exist.
Right.
But we're talking about going back like to the Cretaceous, where these mammals were mating because it was a biological imperative, not because one was looking at the other and going, "How you doing, huh? How you are? You all right? It's kind of cold tonight." I mean, they were just doing what animals do. So there you go. Isn't that so cool that we were just staying warm? And the next time you see a group of birds, remember that they don't like their same sex. They only like the opposite sex, which makes it interesting when you... Well, it just makes it interesting when you think about one rooster and all those chickens.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to comment about more that I know about the Cretaceous. Never mind. Blow that off.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
So I just read this article about a couple. It was in People magazine. A couple got divorced. They met 24 years ago, and then they got divorced, and they've been separated for 10 years now. Their names are Julie Shore and Scott Gade. They have two girls, and they have decided to get together again and get married after being separated and divorced after 10 years. And one of their girls posted a thing on, I think it was Facebook, at the wedding. "War is over. Our parents are now officially remarried." And it's and good for them. You know, they said it was about bringing the family together again, and also they realized what they missed with each other. It's such an unusual situation. You always put yourself in situations when you read something like this. And I mean, no offense to anybody I've been with, I just could not see that happening. A remarriage.
I could. But before that would happen, here's what would come first. Local man wins Powerball. Girls, your dad and I have decided to give it another try.
I think he's changed.
He is a different man.
Exactly. Yeah.
He is an absolutely different new man. And I want our family to be together again.
Right.
And it's not the millions, billions even.
Right.
It's just, you know, I want to happily.
I want our family to be together again in Palm Beach. That's exactly what that would be. But that's not the case with this couple. It's like the parent trap, you know? Yeah. So good to them.
They're better people than we are. And, you know, I think it's important to be able to acknowledge that sometimes people are better than you are.
Oh, I think it is, especially in this case. Yes. Excellent. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault. It is very disturbing to me when I hear that America is like not number one at something, you know? Because
you get upset about
that. I do, because when I was brought up, you know, seemingly we were number one everywhere. I can remember my mother's, I said to my mother, "Mom, if we had to leave America, where would we go?" And she said, she didn't miss a beat. She said, "We would go to Canada." "Why would we go to Canada?" "Because they're the closest to being us." I went, "Wow, we are so great." And I just always thought, you know, we rebuilt Europe after the war with the Marshall Plan. And yep. We're very generous. And then you find out that we're like number 13 educationally, and we're not number one for lifespan and all of this.
Mortality.
I know.
Women who die in childbirth. Like,
I know
it's crazy.
And then the amount of people killed every year by guns and blah, blah, blah. So this was very good to know. According to, let's see, where did this come from? This came from a study out of England. Americans are the best lovers in the world. They study people from all over the world. They question people about the satisfaction with their partner. And America was number one. Both men and women averaged an 8 out of 10 on this score. South Africa, France, Italy, and Canada all came close. South African men got an 8, but the women got a 7. So, way to go, American women, keeping us up there. USA, USA. French, Italian, and Canadian women all got 8s, but the men's got 7. And which country was the worst as far as being lovers? I'm sorry, New Zealand.
Oh, that surprises me with that excellent accent.
I know, I know.
One of my favorite things about people from New Zealand is the way they say the word breakfast. They say the breakfast part, breakfast.
Breakfast.
They say the E isn't as what we would think of as a short I. Breakfast.
You know, I've never really, I've just always liked American women, you know? I mean, different types, but I've never had this thing about a woman from another country, except when I hear a woman with kind of a upscale British accent.
Well, I was going to praise you.
Did I just blow it because this I said
is, no.
She's gonna praise you, but
No,
this is absolute. There's no but. Yeah. This is how much Bob likes American women. Mm-hmm. When Lenny Kravitz had a hit with American Woman, stay away from me. So we're sitting in the studio one day and the Lenny Kravitz song's on, and we're all kind of just sort of sitting here listening to it. And Bob looks up from what he's doing and said, "Oh, you Lenny Kravitz."
I know.
There's nothing wrong with American women. And then went back to what he was doing.
Called
out Lenny Kravitz.
I call out the guy who wrote it, who I met once when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. He was with a band called The Guess Who. And what the heck was his name? He was
Burton Cummings.
I was playing Pinball Machine. And his band was playing in this hall on a Tuesday. And I was like, I was a teenager. I'm playing a Pinball Machine. And he comes over and he says, "Would you like to play against me?" And I looked at him and I recognized him. I went, "You're Burton Cummings." And he went, "Yeah." And we hung out for like an hour.
Playing pinball.
And I was just a teenager. Yeah. We were playing pinball. And then that American Woman song came out. And that ticked me off.
Dead to me.
Because he's a Canadian. Now, most Canadians are great to Americans. But why you got to say that about American women?
It wasn't so much about American women as it was America itself.
America itself because of probably the Vietnam War.
But he's yelling out, "American woman, stay away from me." Well, excuse us. We can't help where we were born.
I know. I mean, give them an update on where you are, GPS on where you are. Maybe they'll stay away from you.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
see,
we're number one. We're number one as lovers.
Did I not praise him?
Yes,
and there was
you
no.
You really did.
That's right. That's very
Bob
good.
Bob Lacey likes American women, but also apparently women with a posh British accent.
Yeah.
So you don't want some Cockney.
No.
Some Cockney.
No, they really.
You don't want some Cockney gal calling you governor.
You know, all my life, what have I been trying to do?
Oh, rise above
rise
your station.
Rise above who I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sexy accent, though. All right.
Not sure how we got here, but here we are.
Here we are. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So late on yesterday's show, we were talking about how 2024 is the year that a whole bunch of movies turn 25, and some of it trips you out. Because like you might go, yeah, well, I thought The Green Mile had been around a while. But then, you know, Toy Story 2, The Sixth Sense, like a lot of major big movies are turning 25 this year. And one of those movies is The Blair Witch Project. So I was mentioning to Max and Lamar that there's kind of a new fan theory about what The Blair Witch Project was really about. But before we go there, you have to remember that it came out in 1999. And the internet was around, but it was still kind of a baby. We didn't have the same dependency on the internet in 1999 that we do now.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
all weren't fluent on the internet in 99 the way we are now. And so the filmmakers for Blair Witch Project, the marketing campaign for this incredibly low budget movie, like sort of got kind of played fast and loose with what's real and what's fake, what's fact and what's fiction. And so the marketing for Blair Witch went viral before we coined the term viral. And one of the things that they did when they marketed this movie back in the day, they went on IMDb, and the three actors in the movie, Josh Leonard and Heather Donahue and Mike Williams, they were listed in IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, as deceased. So if you were curious about this Blair Witch movie and you looked up, you know, Josh Leonard, and you saw that he was deceased, it was like, maybe that isn't fiction. Maybe that really did happen, which was what the filmmakers wanted you to believe, yeah. right? So yeah. here is the latest, and this is all over Reddit. Here's the latest fan theory about the Blair Witch Project. It wasn't the Blair Witch. It wasn't some supernatural creature or some, you know, monster or even some crazy killer hiding away in the woods. It was Mike and Josh. They were the ones who were deliberately trying to drive Heather crazy. They were the ones that were getting quote unquote lost and going in circles. They were the ones with the little, remember those little wooden twig figurines? Remember yeah, that giving you like the creepies and the stones? Yeah. That not only was that Josh and Mike, but the Blair Witch Project, the project in the title was to scare Heather to death. Now, I want you to try to remember, go back to when you first saw the movie. The three of them were constantly arguing and fighting, and the tension is building and building and building. But there is a little bit of Josh and Mike against Heather, just a little tiny bit. Yeah. And so at the end, Heather is finally led into this house, that terrible house, and she's killed by Mike and Josh, which in some ways makes the movie even scarier, because while the idea of a supernatural evil witch is one thing, you can go, yeah, I mean, okay, but that's not real. But a couple of people scheming together to do a thrill killing?
I have a little clip from it.
Please stop tapping. Okay, we're leaving right now. Okay, we're out of here, I'm leaving.
Come on, turn it off!
I don't want you to kick me off in the creek either.
Help! Please help us! Help us!
This is not the way to get out of here.
So, heads up, the only problem with this fan theory is, wouldn't Josh and Mike then have to disappear and assume new identities? Because if they lured Heather and, you know, if they did this whole elaborate plan and lured her into that house and murdered her, they shot a movie about it, don't they also have to disappear otherwise?
Hard to do the press ops yeah. ops after that.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that she got sober and she's a Zen teacher in California probably kills that theory.
So, yeah, think about it. It's kind of...
Yeah.
It's kind of a delicious thing to contemplate. I will say
that
the Blair Witch Project scared me about as much as any movie scares me. I don't know about you guys. It scared me.
It was really weird.
The ending where the guy is standing with his face in the corner, I don't know why, but that is the stuff of nightmares for me. So there you go. Happy 25th birthday. Blair Witch Project. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
We watched a truly terrible Nicolas Cage movie. And there are only two kinds of Nicolas Cage movies.
Yep.
The masterpieces and the truly terrible Nicolas Cage movies. And
no,
I love them all.
Middle of the road, baby.
A mother can't have a favorite child. I will watch a Nicolas Cage movie, even if you tell me up front it's bad. This is one where he plays like this, kind of like Kurtz in Apocalypse Now, except he's buffalo hunting at the end of the buffalo era in the American West. This movie is so bad. Like I don't even have words for how bad this movie is. But after we finished watching it, we got to talking about like, you know, how in the world, what did people do when they were crossing the country? The United States of America is enormous. It's vast. When people were crossing the country in covered wagons and it would take months and months and months and months to get from like, I don't know, Ohio to Oregon, how did they survive? And you know what, guys? One of the things that they ate a lot of was skunk, roasted skunk, because they were plentiful. And skunks can be at home in habitats from the desert to the high country, from the swamps, you know, to the plains. A skunk can find its way. Because I was looking, there's this one very, very old collection of pioneer recipes that takes you step by step through how to get rid of the scent glands before roasting your skunk. There's a podcast I like called Bear Grease, and it's part of the Meat Eaters Network, which is like this big outdoorsy, you know, we're hunting and trapping and skinning and riding mules in the snow and all the things I absolutely do not ever want to actually do, but enjoy hearing about. They made roast skunk, and they were gagging on it because apparently even if you get the scent glands out, it is nasty. Max, you would not have done well as a pioneer.
No. Nope.
Because coffee was so rare. It was such a godforsaken luxury that you couldn't have it. And one of the things that the pioneers did when they were craving coffee is they would take some sweet potatoes and they would cook them, peel them, mash them, shape them into little patties, mix them with rye flour, dry them in the oven until they were hard as hockey pucks. Then they'd grind them up and put them in water, and that would be their coffee. And in case you're wondering, the pioneers were like, it is not a good substitute for coffee.
It was not. Oh my.
Aren't you surprised that as big as tea was in England, the tea is not bigger in the United States?
Here,
but somehow we got into coffee.
You know what I've really... Like every once in a while, I don't care if you're the pioneers and you're hauling booty across the continental United States and you're just all you want is to stake your claim. Every once in a while, even a hardworking pioneer needs a little sweet treat. But of course, there weren't a lot of sweet treats to be had out there on the prairie. But if they, let's say that, you know, they're marching their livestock across the country and something unfortunate happens to one of the calves, one of the baby cows, they would take its hoof and they would make a dessert out of it called calves
gelatin.
Foot jelly. Yeah.
Oh, you've heard of this, Lamar?
No, but I knew that you could make a gelatin out of a calf, out of a calf's, you know, hoof.
Wow, I never knew that. I'm such a city boy.
Yeah. You would you'd boil up the calf's foot. After you got the hoof off somehow, I guess, and you'd mix it with eggs, sugar, lemon, and spices, and maybe a little white wine if you had them, you know?
Who was the first one? Who was the first one to come up with that?
Thank you. Like, who was like, boy, it sure is a shame that Bessie lost her calf. You know what might be good, though? Yeah. No, hear me out, Prudence. Yeah. Baby girl, hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. It's a shame, but waste not, want not. That's what the good book says. Yeah. Or Benjamin Franklin. Yeah. Somebody said it. How about we cut those calves' little feet off and cook them up and turn them into dessert? Yikes. Oh, I don't know, Matthias. Prudence, trust me on this. Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be good. Oh, okay, to start off with, this is not as good as I thought. Hey, have you got some lemon? Let's add a few things. Well, I think we're getting there. Next thing you know.
It's just so nasty. And finally, the pioneers that, you know, they didn't have. Now you know that they were making coffee out of sweet potatoes. Yikes. And they were making dessert out of a calf hoof. And now you need to understand that when they ran out of the flour, because you could only take across the continental United States what you could carry. And they had all of their possessions in their covered wagons. Some of them would throw a piano or whatnot in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they would often run out of staples. Forget sugar. They'd run out of flour. And the Native Americans taught them that you could take acorns and grind them up and make them into bread. So in the morning, Lamar, you're having acorn toast, sweet potato coffee, and if you're real good, you might get you some calf foot jelly later.
Wow. Hey,
as long as you didn't know any better, nothing to compare it to.
I compare it to starving. Yeah. Well, sometimes I look around at us as a nation, and I think, we owe our ancestors so many apologies. They suffered so much to build this. And we're over here, you know, like wetting our pants on airplanes because we're ticked off about something. Like, we need to get right with this. Our ancestors worked very, very hard to get us here. We need to do better. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I believe I got us a little feel-good story here. A woman surprised her husband while on their honeymoon trip to Jamaica after slipping a note to the flight attendant to announce he was recently cancer-free. A young man on this plane named Josh, this is what these stewards, the flight attendant read, named Josh was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in June of 2020. Since then, he has had chemo, radiation, and surgery to move his entire right lung, his thymus gland, the lining of his heart, and part of his diaphragm, the flight attendant said over the intercom. He was on life support 2 times and was in and out of the hospital for years. He fought for his life, and he is now cancer-free, and he's on his way to his honeymoon in Jamaica. And the passenger started to cheer, and everybody's going nuts, and she said, the flight attendant said, I was going to say, please join me in giving Josh the biggest round of applause, but you beat me to it. They revealed to viewers, or she put it on TikTok, and she revealed to viewers in the caption on the video that she had snuck the note to the flight attendant. And when Haley shared her honeymoon with Josh, before they were able to do it, they had to postpone it 3 times. 3 times before he was able to beat the cancer. And on TikTok, this has been viewed now over 405,000 times. Wouldn't you love to be on a plane and hear that story?
News. Yes. Yes. God. And we do need that kind of good news because that really does make you feel better about humanity. But Lamar, why do you just know in your heart of hearts that your next flight, you're with that gassy dude that American Airlines kicked off? Yeah. Not with Josh and his new bride and the celebration.
No, I'm on the flight and they don't kick him off. That's my problem. They don't kick him off.
Oh my God. Hey, let's join that round of applause.
Yeah. Congratulations. Great honeymoon. Have a great honeymoon. And this is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.